Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two. All sorts of energy on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Big week. Big week. Anyway, Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, weekend for me. I went skiing Saturday. It was unbelievably cold, but fun. You?
A lot of time indoors, on couch. Finished The Undoing.
You love that show.
It was great. I watched the Schitt's Creek documentary.
How was that?
For your recommendation. I cried. It was great.
Oh, that's great.
It's really such a sweet show.
It is a sweet show.
Also, you owe me money.
$100.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I have it. I should have. I have it in my wallet. I never carry cash, and strangely, I have $100 in my wallet.
Do you have Venmo?
I don't do Venmo.
Okay.
I don't trust it. No.
I just heard someone laughing.
Oh, I have a conspiracy theory in about 30 minutes. This one's got legs. You know I'm not conspiracy theory guy.
You are not, no.
This one has legs. This is delicious. All right, we call it calling right, calling wrong. I can't come on here every week and have big opinions and not be honest about sometimes I whiff. Here we go to Monday.
Where Colin was right.
Another winning week with Blazing 5. We told you Tennessee would be the blowout of the weekend. It was. We said Miami and the Bills would win. In fact, we liked the Bills handily over Pittsburgh. And we also said, of all the games to not bet money in my Blazing 5, don't bet the Giants much. Just do a little bit. I didn't feel confident about that. I said potentially they'd be flat, and they were. By the way, on the year, we're now one game under 500. If the Browns win tonight, we are at 500 for the year, and we're hot back-to-back winning weeks.
Where Colin was wrong.
Got a little ahead of myself on John Gruden Coach of the Year. Stop me if you've seen this before. Raiders start hot with Gruden and then melt. 6-3 to start. They've lost 3 of 4. Listen, that was just a mismatch in the octagon. You know, Indy is physical and the Raiders are finesse. Recently, the Raiders defense has given up 44 to the Colts and 43 to Atlanta and 35 to the Chiefs, and the Raiders have fired their defensive coordinator this morning. You can talk about schemes, but they've done a very good job to rebuild the offense. They've got terrific young offensive talent, better than average offensive line. They got to take some draft picks and rebuild the defensive front because that was just big brother pushing around little brother for 3.5 hours.
Where Colin was right.
The Steelers' record, I said, was very misleading. They were a very slightly better than average 11-2 team. They don't have a running game. They have to lead the NFL in short, irrelevant passes. They're bad on third down. They really don't have much of an offensive identity. And we see this all the time in the NFL. Bill Parcells said you are what your record is. You are in the standings. But that doesn't mean records can't be misleading. And when you watch this offense, what are they? I don't even know. I know what Buffalo is. Scary. What are the Steelers? Overrated.
Where Colin was wrong.
I'm going to take a wrong on the Patriots season. So I thought they'd be awful and kind of good early. And I'm like, hey, they're kind of good. And I watched them Thursday and they're awful. And I don't know what's going on with them. Nobody in the NFL on a Sunday can almost beat a good team and then not be able to compete the following Sunday. I've been the whole season. I mean, they're not tanking. I was wrong on that, too. But, I mean, week to week, they're exactly the opposite of what New England has been for 20 years. You have no idea what you're getting. They're the most inconsistent team in the NFL, and I'm off my game with the Patriots.
Where Colin was right.
People in the media are constantly telling me we've got to have an extended college football playoff. Oh, stop it. Florida's number 6. They just lost at home as a 24-point favorite. Texas A&M's 5. They got crushed earlier in the year by Bama. There's never been in my life a number 5 team in college football I thought could play for the national championship. Not one time in my life. This year, Bama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson. Then there's a massive drop-off to Texas A&M. By the way, 6 through 9 are Cincinnati, Indiana, Iowa State that has two losses, and Coastal Carolina. Yeah, let's have an expanded playoff and have Bama open with Coastal Carolina. I wouldn't watch that if it was in my bathroom. Nobody cares. We don't need to expand it. 4 is probably double what we need by the end of a college football season.
Where Colin was wrong.
Boy, I thought Leonard Fournette was such a savvy pickup by Tampa. He was a healthy scratch yesterday, meaning he could have played, and they just scratched him. Shady McCoy is like 6 years older and looks like he's got much more quickness and a much greater burst than Leonard Fournette. He has 271 total yards all season. And, you know, Fournette's an interesting player. The number one high school football player in the country. He's never felt like he has this deep, resolute love for football. And he's just kind of disappearing. He's not as good as Shady. He's not close to Ronald Jones. And I was wrong.
Where Colin was right?
I always say in the NFL, unique always works. Tim Tebow won 7 straight games. It doesn't last necessarily. So yesterday, Jalen Hurts came out. The Saints had no idea what they were in for. In the first half especially, they got caught flat-footed. Listen, Taysom Hill won his first 2 games. Tim Tebow won games. Lamar Jackson was the MVP. I think eventually you have to sit in the pocket and throw. But this is one of my themes over and over on this show. Since the 70s, you got to throw in the pocket to win. But if you come out with something new, including hiking the ball to a running back, the Wildcat, it will work for a while. And Jalen Hurts yesterday, I thought about taking Philadelphia in this game because I thought nobody knows what they're going to get. I mean, Philadelphia didn't know what they were going to get. And so once again, unique works in the NFL.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Gus Malzahn, when he was hired, I said this at the other network. I'm going way back. I said he's going to end the Alabama dynasty because he's going to be Chip Kelly of the South. He's going to be an annoyance. He's going to run a contrarian offense, and it's going to be a big pain in the butt for Saban, who's obviously a better coach. Well, Gus Malzahn just got fired. He never really had any personality, so it hurt his recruiting. His teams were wildly inconsistent. He did beat Alabama 3 times, so he was a very minor annoyance, but he had one 10-win season. Auburn's a great, not a good, a great college football program, and today, it's just kind of an uneven mess. I thought he was going to be a consistent year-after-year annoyance, and he was just going to knock off Nick Saban late in the year, every other year, knock him out of the dynasty category. Instead, Gus Malzahn is something like the 33rd or 34th coach. It's a victim to Nick Saban.
Where Colin was right.
I've been on this James Harden thing for years. He's a great scorer. That's all he is. Now, reportedly, he doesn't want to play with John Wall or Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook or Dwight Howard or Mike D'Antoni. He's not a leader. He's the world's best 2. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of money in 2. There's a lot of fun in 2. Kyrie Irving didn't have to go to the arena in Cleveland and talk to the press. LeBron can do it. LeBron's built to be a 1. LeBron is a 1. MJ was built to be a 1. Scottie Pippen, by the way, didn't like the number 1. Didn't want to deal with the media. Didn't want the big shot pressure. James Harden, now reportedly, he doesn't want to play with John Wall. Well, come on now. I mean, at some point, people tell you who they are. You got to believe them, and Harden is telling you, I don't want all the ones. I want the 1 money. I want the 1 shoe deal. I want the 1 shots, but I don't want to be a 1. All right, I'm fine with that. I'd like a little pay cut, but I'm fine with that. But we've been on this for years. People were saying MVP. Give me a break. Most valuable player. Valuable guys can play with other really good guys. Harden can't. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday. So I have I've said this. Joy and I joke about this. Neither one of us are conspiracy theory people. But Joy and I'm not going to get personal, have both had conspiracy theory people in our lives before. And I just don't believe in it. I think conspiracy theorists are people that are seeking attention. They're people that they don't feel society respects them. They're much smarter than everybody understands. So they have inside information that nobody else has. I've got some inside information that nobody else has, and I'd like to share it with you. No, we never cared about you before, and we don't care now. But there are occasionally things that you hear them, you know, bubbling up, and you're kind of like, that is kind of crazy. And there have been, if you Google, a handful of conspiracy theories that have actually been true over the course. I did this I do this about twice a year. I see one and I go and I Google conspiracy theories that have been true. There's always a handful of them. But there is one in the NFL, and it is worth considering because the ramifications are massive, and one team could really ensure something great. That's all I'll say about 30 minutes from now. Trent Dilfer is around the corner.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This week, Derek Carr and the Raiders are fighting for a shot at the playoffs, but rookie sensation Justin Herbert and the Chargers are looking for the upset. Thursday Night Football, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox. Also available on NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video.
That's a good game. I'm going to take the Raiders because I think it means more. I mean, it's the whole season. They have a playoff shot.
Yeah.
They're just both flawed enough to... The end of that Chargers-Atlanta game yesterday was the two franchises in the NFL, Joy, that throw away more games they win.
I felt like it was like the battle of who is more Atlanta.
Atlanta West, Atlanta South.
Yes, it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. Trent Dilfer, 15 years in the NFL, a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl, a head football coach, got to the state final, Lipscomb Academy. He's now joining us from his beautiful home in the mountains. I know where it is. I'm not going to tell anybody. I love having inside information. So I want to talk to you about, not only did you play in Tampa, and I worked in Tampa, but their buys matter in this league. Andy Reid off a bye. Is Sean Payton off a bye? Not everybody uses the bye the same way. So Tampa comes off a bye, and I watched that game, and I thought, hell, if Minnesota had a field goal kicker, they don't win that football game. Like, what I see when I look at Tampa, Trent, I see a collection of talent. I don't see it. I just don't see an identity. What am I missing with Tampa?
I don't think you're missing anything. I think they're a really good football team. I think they're going to get in the playoffs, probably win the first round and get beat in the second round. Everybody's going to go, why didn't they win the Super Bowl? They got Tom Brady. It takes time, and I think you use the key word. I don't think they have their identity yet. Every week offensively, it juggles back between we're going to be spread one week, and the next week we're going to use big sets and run the ball and play action. They need to settle on who they are offensively. Defensively, we know what they are. They're a blitz-happy defense. That works a lot of times, but there's also times the teams know how to gash that, so they need to settle into that a little bit. And they need to be more of a three-phase football team. When they were dominant early in the year, no sacks, no turnovers, dominant special teams. They've slid since then. I think they're a good team, not a great team.
So you can talk specifically to this. You played on some good teams, but you played on one unbelievable team, and that's Baltimore. And I don't remember the specifics of the season, but Kansas City's kind of got into a malaise, and this is gambling talk, but they haven't covered in 5 weeks, and the reason is they defensively they're not all buttoned up. So go back to your Baltimore season. When you know you're great and you see all the alphas and you see all the – you watch the film and you know you're shutting teams down. Did you guys have a 3 or 4 week malaise where it's like, man, here comes teams we should beat. We just beat them earlier. Is it hard to be great?
I mean, it's hard to be great every week. Too often in the TV business, people want to talk about everybody's ceiling. The sexy, flashy thing to do is talk about the bells and whistles, the sizzle, the ceiling of a team in all sports. What matters in the NFL is your floor. How high is your floor? Can you win with C-minus football? And trust me, that Baltimore team, we had to absorb some D-minus quarterback play for myself. So we were able to win with playing C football. That's what I see with the Chiefs right now. They're kind of lollygagging around. Last week it was red zone. They were stinky. This week they turned the ball over. 1 week they give up too many yards. They might not be great on special teams, and yet they still win. And a lot of these games they win easily or comfortably. Like you're like, they're not really ever going to lose this game. They're sloppy. They're not really sharp, and they still win. And I think that's the thing about the Chiefs. Well, I don't think they're vulnerable. I think their floor is so high that even when they don't play well, they have enough difference makers. They have the best player on the planet in Patrick Mahomes. They have a coaching staff that's hyper-aggressive. As you saw yesterday, they're really solid on special teams. I think this is a team that can play B-minus football and still win the Super Bowl.
So I want to go to the Bills because you've been doing Elite 11 forever. So every time I bring up a quarterback in the last 10 years, you saw him at 16. And so the story on Josh Allen is small California town. Nobody offers him. You know, it's a kid. He doesn't fill out till later. He's probably, I don't know what he looked like. He's probably a gangly kid with a big arm, small town, bad football league. Nobody pays attention. And all of a sudden, you watch the last two or three weeks, and you're like, outside of Mahomes, I think I'd build my franchise with that guy. When did you first get your eyes on Josh Allen of the Bills?
When it was at Wyoming, saw the talent, obviously. The raw horsepower just jumps off the tape, and then you get to meet him a little bit, spend some time with him. I was wrong on Josh Allen. I thought he would be a really, really good NFL quarterback in 3 to 5 years. I said, this kid's going to need some time. He's going to need to develop. He's got to get to the big stage. He's got to work on some technique things. He's got to stop throwing fire all the time and learn some touch. And all of a sudden, even last year, the time's like, wow, this is going to be one of the best players in all football. And right now you're seeing it. I think there's a lot of things. Number one, you got to talk about him and how he was raised. If you ever drive through Fireball, California, you're going to realize really quick that there's really solid values. It's simple. It's about hard work, toughness. I think he has all those things. The people he surrounded himself with. I'll give Jordan Palmer a ton of credit. Jordan has kind of adopted him as a surrogate brother since he came out for the draft. It's really raised him in the NFL life. And then obviously his coaching staff at Buffalo has done an incredible job. Just giving, spoon feeding him what he needs each step of the way. And then this year just saying, okay, Josh, it's yours, baby. We're going to go get you a bunch of weapons and let you roll. This kid's a special kid, a special talent, and I think you're looking at a guy that's going to be one of the better players in the National Football League for the next 10-plus years.
Trent Dilfer joining us. Explain to me, I've seen this happen so many times, where a quarterback gets inserted in due to an injury or Carson Wentz isn't playing, and you put him in, and he just – Philadelphia's defense played better.
So spark.
Explain to me – how it works in a locker room. We think Wentz has more elite talent than Jalen, but they have an identity. You just watch it and you're like, God, I've seen this so many times. Explain why it works.
So I think you have to, when you have this conversation, it can't be Wentz or Hurts. You can't say, well, if we're going to say good things about Jalen Hurts, we're saying bad things about Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is a unique talent that's going through a really, really funky stage of his career. He needs a giant reset. He needs something dramatic to happen to get him back to where he was. So we're not saying bad things about Carson Wentz. But what Jalen Hurts brings you is that spark, hope. Hope in the NFL is huge. These guys' bodies hurt. They're tired. This year especially, where they're having to give up with all the COVID regulations. Just life is really hard at the end of the year in the NFL. And you're just clinging to hope. I need something to make me believe. And Jalen Hurts becomes that for the Philadelphia Eagles. Helps the run game. If you notice, they were what we call a nub formation, tight end, three receivers, shotgun, a lot of zone read, a lot of using Jalen Hurts as a threat in the run game. It changes up gap responsibility, so you gave him a spark in the run game. Big plays, you saw that he's a good vertical passer. He gave Alshon Jeffrey a chance down there in the red zone. He took some shots. So all of a sudden, you start doing things offensively that maybe you weren't doing with the other guy. But anytime you talk about the spark quarterback, the second quarterback, you also have to look at consistency and longevity. How long can this work and how consistent can you be with this guy? And I think that's what the Philadelphia Eagles have to figure out for the remainder of the season.
And finally, again, take me back to your career. So I use you all the time for this. You always told me years ago, everybody reacts to losing in the NFL the same way. They're angry and they focus in.
Your wife's ugly. Your food sucks. Nothing's good. Yeah. You don't like your kids, your dogs. You want to get rid of them. Yeah.
But winning is different. And some teams win and they party all week and they think they've arrived. And the next week they lay an egg. So last week for Cleveland was about as big a win as they have had in 10 years. And then tonight it's a divisional rival. As you know, divisional rivals know your personnel. There'll be no tricks. You know exactly what Baltimore's going to do. They know exactly what you're going to do. What do you expect? And do you have an experience in your life where you were with a team that in one of these moments just wasn't ready to play?
Yeah, how you handle success is everything in the NFL, as you were saying. I think with this is a unique part of this game. Stefanski is an incredible coach. What he's done is amazing. Don't want to take anything away from it. And, you know, played for the Browns for 1 year, so I'm excited about what they're doing, and I'm rooting for their success. This is his 13th game coaching in the National Football League. So this is his 13th time he's had to have some between-game narrative conversation plan for his team. Sean Harbaugh's 222nd. Now think about that. 13 to 222 and all the other elements that you've talked about. I'm on the Browns. I like the Browns. I think they win a playoff game. I don't just think they're a playoff team. I think they're good enough to win a playoff game. But in this matchup, considering what you said coming off the huge win, John Harbaugh's Baltimore Ravens being desperate, the pedigree that they have, the championship mindset they have, I like the Ravens in this game for that reason. I think the longer the game goes, the more complex decision-making that's going to happen. And I trust John Harbaugh in his 222nd time of handling these complex issues in game more than I trust the Cleveland Browns.
Ah, crap. I got the wrong side. I just picked the wrong side. I'm done with you, Dilford. Now I'm in a bad mood. That made so much sense. Why couldn't I have talked to you before I put money on it? All right, Trent Dilfer in a beautiful mountain home somewhere, undisclosed location. Great seeing you, and best to you and your family.
Thanks, brother. See ya.
Yeah, didn't that make so much sense? You're like, oh, yeah, of course. Of course.
You never know, though.
Yeah, the Steelers have been in those games a lot.
Yeah.
Did nothing. By the way, new streaming service. It's called Discovery Plus. The shows you love, exclusive original, starting next year, a new streaming service, Discovery Plus. U.S. only, Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, a game we were all paying very close attention to yesterday was the Eagles and Saints, and Jalen Hurts led the Eagles to a 24-21 win over the Saints in his first game as a starter. He was 17 of 30 for 167 yards and a touchdown. He also ran for 106 yards, and he lost a fumble. And Doug Peterson announced this morning that Hurts will get the start again Sunday against the Cardinals.
Tell me he doesn't look like Russell Wilson running. It's the same arm mode. They look the exact same running.
I thought this was very exciting.
Yeah.
I know Philly's pretty much out of it. And, you know, the Saints, like, that's not really a game you want to lose if you're the Saints.
No kidding. That was a big loss.
I thought it was very significant. I did not think that the Eagles were going to get this win because, you know, it matters to the Saints to get that game. And it matters to the Eagles, too, obviously. But, like, the Saints are the best of the NFC. Like, they needed to get that game. I think it's very interesting, and I think there's a lot of repercussions from him going out there and getting that win.
You know, there's sometimes in sports, something happens to a league that just ensures its growth. One of the things that is so good for the NFL, how many of the, now that you've added athlete to the quarterback position, not just your classic drop back 6'5 guy, how many of these quarterbacks you throw out there for the first time and you're like, oh, you can win games. I mean, I've been watching this league long enough to know it used to be you had a good quarterback and then you had an old guy as a backup, kind of a wash guy, but you had him there because he could handle. Now, and it wasn't very exciting. When you went to a backup, you went to a backup. Now you go to a backup and it's Taysom Hill and it's Jalen Hurts and you're like, oh,
they might just take the job.
They may be better. What's happening with quarterback play, I watched UCLA. And USC is the bigger brand, right? UCLA, I watched the kid playing quarterback, and I'm like, nobody's talking about that kid. That kid's an NFL quarterback.
That was such a fun game.
It was a wild game. By the way, I was on a flight. I watched USC, UCLA. The guy in front of me had LSU,
Florida
on. It was like having a media room on a plane. I had right in front of me, I'm like, I get the SEC game of the day, I get the Pac-12 game of the night.
Well, they have they're at the Cardinals this weekend, or the Eagles, then they're at the Cowboys, and then they have Washington. I mean, if he wins two of those last three.
Well, I think you absolutely just, at this point for Philly, you start him until he loses. You just keep playing him. Just go. You saw he can play. We were worried about confidence.
And what do you do next year?
Well, then you figure it out next year. Today's problem, Joy, if you've got an issue in your life, you just get through December.
Let's get through 2020.
That's right.
That's fair. So the Cowboys Week 15 game against the 49ers was flexed out of Sunday Night Football in favor of the Browns Giants. But Jerry Jones is still confident that his team is a major television attraction.
Make no mistake about it. I can tell you firsthand, the Cowboys are the premier draw there is out here in the television, period. I'll be very candid with you. Some of the biggest ratings we've ever had have been on Sunday afternoon. And so that's not a bad strategy to put the Cowboys in a potentially lesser slot, i.e. prime time, and have more eyeballs watch the NFL.
Well, they will be next year. They're not today. Like yesterday, there were two games I didn't spend much time on. One of them was the Cowboy Bengal game. And I can't remember the last time. The last time that happened is the Tony Romo got hurt year.
Yeah.
I just didn't watch the Cowboy game. I mean, I watched everything yesterday. Carolina, Denver didn't have a lot of repercussions, so I didn't watch that much. I mean, I watched the highlights and I had it off to the right. Cowboys, Bengals, I saw plays only. I never gave it 8 minutes.
There's just down years in brands. The Cowboys are the biggest brand in all of sports, all around the entire globe. They're the biggest.
Yeah.
So they're going to be fine next year. But this year, they are not a draw.
No, I'm with
you. There was nothing interesting about that Bengals. Nothing. The Bengals don't even have Joe Burrow. Like, there was nothing interesting about that game yesterday. And it's not a reflection of the Cowboys as a brand or how they're run as an organization or anything. It's just, this is not the year.
Well, a few years ago, we had, who was the Kobe's Lakers had about a 2-year stretch, not his last year, but the years before. And they just had a bunch of young, immature guys. And it was like, networks didn't put them on much. I mean, it was just like there were, and you had Kevin Durant to the Warriors, and you just had more interesting other brands. I mean, Miami's a brand, and Boston's a brand.
Some teams where, you know, they get hot. And then they kind of start to feel like, oh, like, you know, we're in that conversation. We're gonna be in prime time every single year. And then they have a down year, and it's like, no, this is who you still are as an organization. That's not what the Cowboys are. They're just not. There's nothing going on with them this year. They're 4-9. They're last in the NFC East, which is the worst division in football in decades. They're 21st in points per game. They're allowing the most points per game on defense. Like, this is not the year for the Cowboys. They'll be back next year, and I think it's going to be a very interesting and crucial offseason, what they do moving forward. So you mentioned that Florida-LSU game.
Crazy.
Sixth-ranked Florida suffered their second loss of the season, a huge upset by LSU. The Tigers were stopped on third down late in the fourth quarter, which should have forced LSU to punt.
Right.
But Florida corner Marco Wilson ripped off his opponent's shoe and threw it down the field, drawing multiple flags and keeping LSU's drive alive. This led to a 57-yard field goal to give the Tigers a lead with 23 seconds remaining. Florida had a chance to tie it up and force overtime, but they missed a 51-yarder to give LSU the 37-34 win.
You know, I really hate this call. I really hate it.
Do you?
I know. You're not supposed to do it. But God, you're a 17, 18-year-old kid, and you get the shoe, and you didn't throw it at anybody. I hate it. I just hate the call.
Listen, I'm a troublemaker myself. But come on. You've got to have more composure than that. I mean, you just do. You do.
I know. You're right. But I saw it, and I was like, oh, God, that ball.
I mean, it's not the end of the world, but there's sportsmanship. Like, you can't do this. And look, all of his teammates just start mauling him as soon as it's done. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You cannot do that.
I know. I know you can't. Listen, my kids have done things, and I'm just, my kid once ran full speed at a nursery into a pile 7 foot deep of like mud where they had plants, and it almost drowned. I had to save him. I had to jump in. I mean, it was like something out of Gilligan's Island or something. And I'm like, I was so furious, and I was like, oh, he's a kid. And I watched that, and I'm like, okay, he's not going to do that 7 years in the NFL. He's a kid.
No, I don't think he's undraftable because he did that.
No,
but you cannot do that. You can't do that. Like, you can't do it. You know you can't do it.
I feel terrible for him.
I feel bad for him, but it's a hard way to learn a lesson. We've all learned very hard lessons, right?
Mm, all right. All right, Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Okay, so I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Goulet, you've been with me a long time, and Joy, you've been with me 3 years. I laugh at conspiracy theorists. But I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to take a break. I have one that you have to at least consider it. I'm not saying it's true, but you can't tell me somebody in one of these organizations hasn't thought, this is glorious. Because you can ruin a franchise next 10 years. That's next. That's called a tease, folks.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
On the road so much during the holidays. CarShield.com, 10% off. Go to CarShield.com, code Herd, America's number one auto protection provider. Over a million people have used CarShield. It's great to have you. It's the holiday season. We have a terrific Monday Night Football game tonight. Cleveland and the Baltimore Ravens. Dilfer likes the Ravens. I like the Browns. I think they're a better team since week 7. Stefanski's a young coach, but I also think the Browns have the best offensive line in football, and I think at the end of football season, you saw that yesterday with the Colts, a lot of good offensive lines won yesterday. Buffalo had the better offensive line, could run the football against the Steelers. So I want to start with this. I don't believe in conspiracy theories. And as Joy often says, players do not tank. But we saw the Colts not play Peyton Manning that last year so they could get Andrew Luck. We know what happens in the NBA draft. You just sit starters, play guys. That's a tanking. You just play less talented guys. So the Jets right now have the number one pick, and the Jags have the number two pick. If they tie, the Jags get the pick. It's a strength of schedule tiebreaker without convoluted. I don't want to waste your time. The NFL goes to a strength of schedule thing. I think the easier one gets it, Jags get it. So the Jets can't win a game. If you look at the Jets' schedule, they're going to lose the next two games. They're going to get crushed at the Rams and crushed by the Browns, who have stuff to play for. Then it's the Patriots. It's perfect. Belichick hates the Jets. Once was offered the job, turned it down. Hates him. He's already beaten and humiliated the Jets 100 times. The game has no. But he could easily say, I'm not going to play Cam because Cam's our starting quarterback next year. There's no reason to put him through that. We're going to give Jared Stidham a full week. It's all it takes. That's all it takes. Jared Stidham starts. Well, they're struggling with Cam. What's it going to look like with Jared Stidham? The Jets win the game. Ugly. John, you could even play the conspiracy theory music. And the Jets and Belichick doesn't have to face Trevor Lawrence for the next 5 years. Think about this division. I want to face Trevor Lawrence 2 times a year. I want to face Tua 2 times a year. I want to face Josh Allen 2 times a year. Hell no. Belichick is too competitive to what? Start Jarrett Stidham? That's all you're asking. You just say, listen, we're going to start Jarrett Stidham.
And none of those Jets players want to be a part of a team that went 0-16.
It's humiliating. The Jets will play to win. Maybe the organization won't. I'm just saying, you're Belichick. You want to face Josh Allen 20 times in the next 10 years. And then Trevor Lawrence 20 times. And Tua. Nobody in the NFL, including Belichick, who's won 43% of his games without Tom Brady, nobody wins in this league having the fourth best quarterback in a division. And they got too many wins to get one of the top guys this year. And nobody's going to do him any favors and give him a quarterback. I'm just saying, you start Jared Stidham.
It's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. There are some far more unrealistic conspiracy theories out there right now.
So here's, because a lot of people now, because I'm America's media icon, this will get talked about a lot. So what you do if you're Belichick, you do it a week early. You say, we're just going to play Jarrett so it doesn't look so premeditated. You play Cam one more week. If you lose, you just say, last two games of the year, we're going to give Jarrett Stidham a start as a coaching staff. Nobody's going to judge Belichick. So if they go to Jarrett Stidham as a starter.
Well, they have the Dolphins in Miami next week.
And Miami's going to win that game.
They've traditionally struggled in that game.
And Miami's going to win that game. And I think they shut it down after that. Who do they have after that?
Bills.
And they're going to get routed by that. And so I just say, I think they just, what if they just say, because you don't want to start Jarrett Stidham against Miami and get blown out. Because people say, okay, you got to play Cam. And you let Cam play against Miami. And then you say, we've made a decision. We're just going to go with Jarrett Stidham the rest of the way.
I don't hate it.
Don't hate it. It's not crazy. And by the way, it would just stick it to the Jets. I mean, it would just be a tay.
Well, actually, I mean, besides the added bone, I feel like the sticking it to the Jets is like the cherry on top. It's actually a very good strategy. Now, the consolation, like how far do they go down? Do they get the second pick in the draft?
Yeah.
So they're still getting Justin Fields.
Right, but they're, let's be honest about this. Once a decade, you get a quarterback that who's going to win regardless of the mess.
Yeah, just, no, I mean, that's about how everyone feels about Trevor Lawrence.
Justin Fields could win with the right people, but you put him in Cleveland with Freddie Kitchens, Justin Fields is not going to win. So there's a difference between Luck, Elway, Trevor Lawrence. And this isn't one of these things where you get Mahomes and he's way better than you thought. Trevor Lawrence would have been the number one pick last year.
Right.
And probably the year before.
It actually kind of adds a little cover for Belichick, too, that they would still get Justin Fields. Because it's like, wow. I mean, they've got a quarterback.
Well, yeah, I mean, a chopped liver.
I'm glad you asked that question.
Okay, okay. I do want to say this, though. When I watched Buffalo last night, it's so amazing how it lines up. They are the Steelers 13 years ago. The Steelers 13 years ago had a small college quarterback named Big Ben who was weirdly big, strong, mobile with a huge arm. Didn't watch him play in college. And they had this coach, defensive coach from William & Mary named Mike Tomlin. They had a terrific offensive coordinator named Bruce Arians who everybody in the league thought, oh, he's going to get a head job. And they were a proud Northeast franchise. So now the Bills have this small school quarterback named Josh Allen, who nobody watched really in college. Their coach, Sean McDermott, he went to William & Mary too with Mike Tomlin. It is a proud Northeast franchise, and they've got this offensive coordinator who's going to get a head job, Brian Daboll. I literally like watched him last night. I'm like, and by the way, these guys have Stephon Diggs. Big Ben back then had a couple of great young receivers. It's like, I feel like I was watching the Steelers with just different names. And I will say this too. If you were building a quarterback today, and Peter Schrager talked about this. Schrager came on earlier and talked about Josh Allen. Here's Peter Schrager earlier on Josh Allen, the quarterback.
This Josh Allen, he has had his moments where you wonder, all right, can I trust this guy? In the last month or so, I'm done questioning it. He is as good as any other quarterback under 30 outside of Mahomes. I would take Josh Allen over Deshaun Watson. I would take Josh Allen over Kyler Murray. I would take Josh Allen over Joe Burrow right now if I'm building a team. He is that dialed in, and he's had the experiences of 2 years, ups and downs, where you feel like he's fully blossoming. I love watching this kid throw the ball, and I love watching him lead his team. They really believe in him. Colin, the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC and the NFL right now. The Bills might be a close second.
By the way, 13 years ago, Big Ben was in his fourth year, and they kind of did some babysitting. You recall, first couple of years, it was run game, it was defense. And by about year four, it was Ben's team. Josh Allen, year three. A little babysitting first couple of years. You watched last night and last week. Oh, it's Josh Allen's team. Any throw. So, I mean, it feels like the Steelers. By the way, if you were building a quarterback today, ideally, this sounds stupid, but you'd want somebody that's tall. So you'd probably go 6'4 and a half, 6'5 and a half. You'd want somebody that was big and could take hits. But usually with tall, you get immobile, clunky. You get mobile. You'd want big arm, especially cold weather quarterbacks. Big Ben, Flacco, Josh Allen. Brady throws a very good cold weather football. You would not build Kyler Murray. You would not build Russell Wilson. You would not build Aaron Rodgers, who's like 6'1 and a half, 6'2. You would build this. 6'5, big arm, mobile, coachable, and what's always the key? Overlooked in high school and college. Just got a little chip on his shoulder. Overlooked. Nobody. He can run over you. He can run past you. He can throw it in front of you. He can throw it over you. I mean, he is just, I love these stories. We have so many. Mahomes is obviously, if you could take a quarterback, you take Mahomes.
Right.
Dad played Major League Baseball, their stuff, but you get to that second list, and it's like, yeah, I get into that Herbert, Josh Allen, where you're like, that ball just cuts through anything.
I love that they've stuck with him and developed him.
Yes. People bail on quarterbacks. They just stuck with him.
So quickly.
Discovery Plus, next year, new streaming service, has exclusive originals and many of the shows you like. The Food Network HGTV. It's called Discovery Plus, a new streaming service coming next year. Hour 3 on a Monday flying by.